was the last time you felt inspired? Have you ever wished you could take your passions and use them to launch a successful business? Host Katana Abbott, founder of the Smart Women's Cafe, brings to you experts in the field of caregiving, wealth building, personal branding, and feng shui for an opportunity to hear the top advice from the top resources. So grab a cup of coffee and take that quantum leap you've been waiting for. Smart Women Talk Radio, the link to live with purpose, passion, and prosperity.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Smart Women Talk. This is your host, Katana Abbott, and I'm here with my co-host, Jill Jordan. And we are so happy to have you joining us today because we've got a great show. We've got one of our returning contributing experts from the Smart Women's Coaching Cafe, Carol Heider, who's an international feng shui expert, and she's here to help us learn how feng shui can be a clutter buster, because how many of us are pack rats and end up with stuff all around us, and as we know, everything is energy. And she's going to help us clear that clutter out of our lives. She's going to teach us what feng shui is and how you can overcome those clutter problems, and also how to use feng shui for actually removing clutter and increasing your energy. So get ready for that in just a few moments. But right now, I want to bring Jill on. Jill?
Hi, Katana.
Hi there.
I am so excited about today's show because, once again, I'm looking at an office that's got a little bit of clutter, and I know what I'm going to do right after this show.
And I'm looking at some stacks, too. I've got Megan here, and we have been working diligently, but it seems like it just keeps piling up. It's crazy. Where does it all come from?
It does. Where does it all come from? I'm looking at the piles and thinking, got that pile there. It's an organized clutter, but, you know, I just want to get rid of it all, and it just is such a wonderful cleansing feeling, and I'm just so happy that we've got Carol back with us once again. She's just a wonderful guest to have on our show.
Well, do you remember when we did a cafe chat with Carol? A while back in the Smart Women's Coaching Cafe, and she talked about how everything is energy, and it has this vibration, and she talked about, and I'll never forget this, you know, because I'm a financial planner, your power center in the left corner of your desk, and whatever's there is, you know, that's where you really want to put something purple there, something beautiful, something wonderful. And I've got one of those computer desks that's like a armoire. So my computer's inside there, and in my power center was my hookup to the internet, my telephone and my headset, and a bunch of wires and spider webs and dust because it was way, way back in the corner. And as soon as we got off that call, I took everything apart, and I polished it, and I found this $1 million bill, and I put it in that corner. So this beautiful $1 million bill looks at me all the time.
That's what I love so much about when we bring Carol to the show. She always leaves us with these tips that we can take some action steps right away. And I think that's what's so much fun about Smart Women Talk every Tuesday, is the guests that we have on give tips and ideas and inspirations. I mean, think of who we had on the show last week.
Oh,
it was
God.
Just another wonderful, fun show.
Yeah, and you know, if anyone missed it, they really have to go back, because this month, we have an editorial calendar, so every month at Smart Women's Coaching, we have a theme. And we had, you know, back to school in September, in August, and then September it was Wealth Building 101. And this month, it's all about making a difference and giving back. So it was so perfect to launch that with Don Smith, the founder of Village Empowerment. And what is so exciting on that call is, here is a gentleman who retired to, you know, sail the Caribbean and enjoy himself, and he found something was missing. And so he took his life and completely revamped it. He retired to something new in his retirement and ended up in Africa. And with another gentleman and a woman, over the last 10 years, haven't they've been they've created 34 empowerment villages where they've worked primarily with the women, right? And they've taught these women how to cook and sew and farm and irrigate and set up daycare centers for the kids. I mean, it's, you really have to listen to the show to get the whole gist of it. But what we're doing with Don is we are going to be launching a campaign between now and year end to have our own village that we empower, because we can change the lives of the whole village and get them self-sustaining for $2,500.
And it's amazing what he had to share with us. And he said one of his greatest gifts is that he is a problem solver, and how he went about a huge, huge, massive problem of starvation and hunger in these villages in Africa, and how it just continues. You send over food, but it doesn't get in the right hands, and so you just keep sending things over. And he talked about how can he solve this massive problem in a different way of looking at things. And the powerful piece was through educating and teaching. And isn't that what this is all about? We share our gifts, that which we know, that which we are good at doing, and we share with others so that it grows and it goes full circle. It's just the beauty of that, simply put.
You know, I agree, Jill. And the thing that was so powerful is the fact that because the men used to hunt, and that was their job, and now there's no animals except for on the reserves, the men have no purpose in life, and they are very depressed. But they found that by working with the women have more faith. The women were so much more willing to learn and try. And besides that, the women were running the villages, pretty much doing all the work. And so he worked with these women, and the first thing he does when he goes into a village is two things. They help the women learn English, and he said it only takes about 6 weeks, you know, a little under 2 months, to teach them enough English so they now can start. One woman said she can at least write a note to her husband to tell her she's going to be going into the town. I mean, simple things like that. And the second thing was they put a steel roof on the church and a cement floor, because each village has a little hut that's their church, and in exchange they can use that church for meetings and also for to create a daycare for the kids. Really powerful. So we want everyone to just stay tuned, because you're going to hear more about this. We're going to have the Smart Women Village out in Africa. We'll have pictures of the village and the people, and I don't think it's going to take much for us to raise $2,500. 25 women giving $100, or what, 250 people giving $10. Pretty easy, right?
And amazing how $2,500 can get this village going with this training center. It's just, it's a drop in the bucket. And it's everybody giving a little bit to create.
Yeah, so if anyone's interested, just listening on the show or listening on the archive, come to our site and, you know, just send an email to either Katana or Jill at smartwomenscoaching.com. Just send us an email and say, hey, I'm interested in doing this, because I actually think we could do 10 villages this next year, but I always like to think big. So they actually have requests for 200 villages right now, and they just don't have the funding. So we're going to help them. But anyway, this is great. I love these weekly shows. They're so different. Every one is just a fabulous topic that's affecting us in our lives. So with that, I think we need to take a little break and bring Carol on. What do you think?
Sounds great, Katana. I can't wait to introduce Carol.
Okay. We'll be back for break, everyone, in just a moment. Thank you.
Attention women in transition. Join financial goddess Katana Abbott and other leading coaches and entrepreneurs at www.smartwomenscafe.com. Take advantage of this free content and rich online community. Weekly coaching calls, teleclasses, and more with unparalleled access to top coaches are just some of the perks. Or take it to the next level and check out the Business Mastermind Coaching Program for live coaching and over $9,500 in benefits. Learn to live with purpose, passion, and prosperity at smartwomenscafe.com.
How does the environment play on your child's ability to concentrate? Where are the best areas in the house to study? Avoid distractions. Tune into Smart Women Talk Radio with international feng shui co-host Carol Hyder as she explains what to do in your children's rooms to get them prepared for going back to school. Be there on August 11th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Feng Shui Way with Carol Hyder.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Welcome back. This is Jill along with Katana on Smart Women Talk, and we are about to introduce to you one of our favorite guests, Carol Hyder. She's been on the show. You may have heard her before. She is our feng shui guru, and today's session is all about clutter buster. Before we went to break, we were talking about our guest last week and thinking about a space where you have absolutely nothing, when we were talking about these villages in Africa, compared to what so many of us are facing with clutter here, there, and everywhere. Quite a shift from nothing to so much, and what we can do to sift through this clutter. But before I bring Carol on, let me just share a little bit about her if you haven't met her already. And certainly you can go to her website, carolhyder.com, and that's Carol spelled C-A-R-O-L-E-H-Y-D-E-R. Carol offers individuals the chance to see how implementing changes in their environment can likewise facilitate change in their life. Whether personal or professional, enormous shifts and improvements can be made as a result of subtle adjustments to their home, to their office. And we are going to focus on today this thing about clutter. And Carol, I have to say, once again, it's piled up, and I'm looking at this office with a few piles around here, but I know you're going to help me get rid of them. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you. It's great to be back here on this show. I love working with you, too. Well, it is kind of an odd juxtaposition, isn't it? I was listening to your intro about the people who are, you know, struggling just to get a village together, and many of us have villages right in our own offices because we've got so much stuff, so... That's just how it happens, you know. It's kind of how life is these days, so.
That's funny. I can't believe
and,
you said that.
And it's a nice way of putting my piles here as little villages, and these villages need to consolidate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think everybody, we've reached such a max warp speed here that just too much is happening, and I've noticed even in my own work, because I've been doing feng shui forever, and that clutter issue, although it was always a kind of a common thread, it's always there now, always. I mean, I could in the past go to houses and clutter wasn't much of an issue. Now it's always an issue. So something's really shifting just kind of on a global basis, on a universal level. So
you are absolutely right, and I just look at my own home, and I think the amount of stuff that we have, I've been playing little games with myself this year. On garbage day, I say to myself, take out two bags instead of one. Remove the stuff you don't need.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a game I play. But, you know, before we start really diving into the clutter piece, for those people that might not be as familiar with feng shui, although you've been in it for so many years and it's really catching on and more people are in tune, why don't you just kind of walk us through some of the basic principles before we really get into this topic we have at hand?
Sure. Well, it's based on the whole premise that your space is a mirror, a direct mirror of what's going on in your life. And there's also an argument that says, well, if stuff's going on in your life, wouldn't you then create your space to reflect that? You know, like if you're really, really, really busy, then you don't have time to put your stuff away. And it really is a two-way street. But a lot of times what happens is that the space really has its own message and its own reflection. And after a while, you look at that and you take that on. So if the space, you walk into a space and it's chaotic, you're eventually going to feel chaotic. And you know, you've all had that experience. You walk into a space and it drives you crazy and you don't, you know, it's got too much happening or there's too many things sitting all over. And we take that on. It's sort of, it magnifies that whole experience. So, you know, your space reflects your life in feng shui. That's one of the principles. And then the other one is that everything has energy to it. And so we're going to specifically apply this to clutter here in a few moments, because you want to surround yourself, the energy around you should be something that supports you, that makes you feel good, makes you feel productive. Certainly in an office, you want to have things that inspire and make you creative and, you know, have a big vision instead of, you know, little, you know, a storage area of stuff you don't know what to do with. You know, that's not going to help you out. So your space reflects your life. Everything's energy. And, boy, on that one, we've got a lot to talk about in terms of clutter. So,
well, so where do you begin?
Yeah.
In the beginning.
In the beginning with the clutter. Well, I think that a good place to begin is really to think about, you know, this is something I do with my clients, is I want them to think about what do they want? You know, what is it? This is what separates us from, like, just organizers. Because organizers will do a bang-up job of going in and help you organize. But with feng shui, we step back and go, before we do that, what is it you want? Is there, you know, a goal, a certain amount of income, the success of a project? You want to be healthier? You want your children to, you know, flourish? I mean, that's a key piece here, because that's going to dictate to somebody like me where we start, and then how do we create the space to hold that dream, so that if somebody is even in their office says, yes, but my biggest dream is to have my children be happy, we're going to find ways to have that message set up in that office. And it doesn't have to mean they've got their pictures all over, although that would be one way to do it. But there may be some other things that we would do that could, as you're sitting even in your office that seems unrelated to your children, that goal is still implanted there. So you won't ever forget what it is you're trying to accomplish. So that's a real key piece. And in fact, anytime I'm working with anyone, sometimes almost half of our time together is, what's your dream? Where do you want to go with things? And sad to say, a lot of people don't have a dream.
Oh, that's so true, Carol. Both Katana and I work with individuals in coaching, and that's where we start. What is that big vision? What is your dream? And so frequently, you are correct, they don't even know, or it's been squashed. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you start there. It makes perfect sense, you know, in asking this question. What do you want? Because if you just have an organizer come in, they'll probably organize, and you'll fall right back to where you were once before.
That's
love
the
it.
Thing, yes. And that's the issue, is that it because clutter comes back. You know, I always use an analogy. Clutter is like weeds in a garden. And anyone who's a gardener knows that you can weed, but that's not the end of it. You're going to have to keep weeding. Well, clutter is the same way, because I think people get discouraged, like, I just decluttered. Well, but the nature of it is that it will return. So rather than fight it and go, oh, I'm never going to do it because it just keeps coming back. Well, that's how it is. You know, if you're a good gardener, a masterful gardener, you're not going to say, I'm never weeding because they just come back. you weed anyway because it just provides you that beauty and that eye appeal that you want. Well, you're going to you have to declutter on a regular basis anyway. And if in doing that you say, oh, yes, it's because of this bigger picture, then you're more apt to hold that decluttered space. Can I tell a story about a client?
Oh, go ahead. Yes,
this
please.
This is a really cool story because she does not mind my telling you this. I worked with a client who had just I'll cut to the chase and not give you all the details, but she must have had a garbage house because she would call me on a regular basis. And finally, after a couple of years, she did invite me there, and it was pretty horrifying at that point. But by the time I got there, she had a dumpster out in front and was just hauling stuff out. And I have been along the way, been counseling her on the phone about some things she could try, some small steps she could take. None of it was quite working, or it would work for a while. So I said to her, what put you on fire with this? What happened? And she said, what happened is that two of her children had babies of their own. And she said, I got up one morning and thought, I cannot have my grandchildren see how I live. I am horrified. What has happened here? And she just started throwing stuff out, just ruthlessly, planning the place for the crib for these babies, planning a little toy area, planning where they could stay. I mean, all of a sudden she had a bigger picture, which drove that energy with such ferocity. I just had to get out of the way. And basically what she wanted me to do was to sort of help her set up these new places. So you really need something that's going to inspire. You know, I want to make this amount of money a year, or I want to get this book out and see it be successful, or, you know, whatever it is, that is going to be the propellant that's going to take you down the road and help you then declutter. So you don't get lost, because see what happens is you get lost in the details. And then you get discouraged. And then it's like, oh, you know, I don't know what to do. I can't decide. If you've got an overriding theme or goal, those decisions will come much easier. So that's the biggest thing is in feng shui, is you've got to know what's your point. Why are you wanting to even do this? Because just like you said, Jill, they'll revert back.
Carol?
Some people just don't have the skills either. Yeah.
Carol, I just wanted to point something. You were talking about the dumpster, and it just brought something to my mind. Just two things about dumpsters. I was at a DSO concert and got to go backstage and meet Doc Severinsen. And he said that he, for some reason, he told me that he and his wife had a dumpster this week, that this, you know, like maybe this period of time when I saw him, that they had put outside their house, and they were just getting rid of everything. He said, even photo albums. He goes, we just got tired of all this stuff. We're just getting rid of everything.
And oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and he said it feels so good. He says, because why do we need all this stuff? And it's interesting because then I was in Costa Rica, and I sent my husband home. We were together, and I said, I need, you know, another week just to do my own thing. And I met this couple, and we decided to go out looking at property together, and they were real estate agents in Florida. They had sold their house and given everything away, their pictures, dishes, everything, and all they had was the money in the bank and then their suitcase of clothing. And they said they felt so fabulous.
Yeah.
And they were looking for a home in Costa Rica. So, and I just wanted to mention that to you, this sense of, I have no idea how that would feel not to have all that stuff, to have, you know, and to be like them with just a suitcase and then my money in the bank.
You know, that's what holds people back is fear. Fear of, I'm going to need that. I'm going to miss that. You know, it means something to me. If I let go of that thing, I've let go of that person, or I've let go of that event.
Mm.
And, you know, when something happens like that, when people are proactive, I mean, I have never heard a story where people say, I really regret I did that. I've never heard that. I've heard the opposite. Just like you said, I felt so good. Photo albums, that's pretty awesome. Because most people cannot get rid of that.
I know.
That's a great story. Gee.
Yeah. So it's, I wish I still have their information, you know. Well, who knows now? I mean, they're in Costa Rica somewhere, but I would love to have stayed in touch with them. But they were just going to find a place. They were just traveling for 6 months, and they said, we're just going to find out where we want to live down here.
Yeah. Well, you know, we get tornadoes that come through this area. I'm sure you guys do, too. And you know, somebody's house has been totally destroyed, and they stand there and say, it doesn't matter. Those were just things. Our family was safe. Now, a couple of days before that tornado, they might have not had that feeling at all. They would have gone, oh, I want this, and I need this, and that sofa is great, and I want that picture. You know, all of a sudden, it's all gone. But they've gotten down to what is really important. So, and it doesn't mean you can't have anything. That's not where I'm going here. But I think a perspective on that is important.
Mm-hmm. So is it a sense of the freedom? Do they feel a different energy?
Yeah. Yes. And they get to start over. You know, they get, now in 5 years, they might be back in, you know, a lot of stuff again. But they've had that moment when they can go, wow, I could do anything. I'm free. I am free of every single thing. I don't know. I have not had to have that experience. I don't know how I would handle that.
Wow.
So. It is liberating. It is freeing. It's cleansing. And, you know, I was just kind of chuckling to myself because you had another fabulous guest on our show, Ivana Majoria.
Oh, Majoria, yes.
Yeah, and talking about fashion and feng shui. And I immediately thought about the slacks that I have in my closet, the fat ones, the skinny ones, the short ones, the long ones, they're all black. They're all the same style. And I would hold on to 8 different ones, and I'm thinking, why? You know, just get rid of, and it really makes you feel good and cleansed. And I know we've been talking about this physical clutter, and I'd like to talk how it relates with emotional clutter too, because that's an important piece.
It is. It is really important. And you know, the emotional clutter can be just as heavy as actual physical clutter. And usually what I see is if somebody has physical clutter, I can usually look and see that there's some emotional stuff going on. Now, emotional clutter could be things like drama, people into drama, people who continually get into bad relationships, people who really over-identify with their job or with, you know, one of their children or their children, or they over-identify with their car or... And just having people around them who continually take from them and they don't get anything back. I mean, that's all kind of emotional clutter. And, you know, we from the outside, it's kind of like sometimes, you know, I can step back and go, get rid of that clutter in your house. Get rid of, and sometimes I can, you know, we can all step back and go, get rid of that jerk. You know, he's just another one in the lineup that they're all the same. Get rid of them. But you see, there's something there that doesn't allow that to happen easily. Well, here's where feng shui comes in so beautifully, because when I see that, I can say to them, and a lot of times people are saying, oh, I'm in therapy, I've been in therapy for years, I'm trying to work on why I sabotage things, why I am, you know, so distraught over this relationship, why I've been abused so many years, and I continue to say, I say to them, all right, that's fine, I think you should continue with that. But in addition to that, let's get your house, your space, to say, I am whole. I can think clearly. I'm not going to take that anymore. And that's where cleaning up the clutter in the physical clutter in the space can make a huge impact on somebody emotionally. And that's not the only cog in the wheel. I mean, therapy is one. You know, I mean, there has to be lots of other things that may help them, but feng shui can certainly do it. Because if they're working on things about abusive relationships, and they go to their therapist's office and they get a plan, and then they go home and their whole house is set up with abuse around it, with the idea of abuse, of not feeling strong, of not thinking clearly, they've really undermined all the work they've done in their therapy sessions.
Can you give us an example of what that is, though? Because I know for you it's probably so obvious, but I know for myself, and I'm sure for our listeners, when you say that they go home and there's all this abuse, I mean, what does that mean? Give us an example.
Yeah, that's a fair question. All right, so let's pretend I'm working with a woman, and she is, maybe she's not in a physically abusive relationship, but she's in an emotionally abusive relationship. Her children don't pay much attention to her, and she's trying to find her voice. She's trying to find some strength. And then I go to her home. So she has me come to her home, and I see that she has no headboard. She's got no room for herself. She has no place that she can call her own. I can see that some basic things need to be repaired, like the doorbell doesn't work, like some cupboard doors don't close right. I can see that she doesn't use her front door. Those are all things, those are really key things, some of which can be really simple to fix or to deal with, some of which do require a little bit of attention, like fixing the door or getting a doorbell that works. All of those things are really doable and manageable and all give someone who needs it a leg up, a step forward, a little more of a backbone. And it's never, feng shui is never used to manipulate. So it isn't like she'd get so strong, you know, she'd override, you know, him. But what it would do is would give her the strength to confront and to speak up and to say no when she needed to say no. And so even though those things don't seem to have any relationship at all to what she's trying to accomplish, everything is energy. Everything is energy. And having a headboard says that you have found some support. Maybe not from your spouse or from your family, but somewhere, and the support might be from within. Opening the front door says, I'm really opening up to something new, something different here. What else did I mention? Having the doorbell work, that says I have found my voice. I actually can announce myself. So these are all metaphors for what she's trying to accomplish in her life. Can be very poignant. And, you know, again, it seems like it has nothing related to it, but it's all energy and it's all related.
Carol, I have a question for you. I'm sorry, but this is about doors, because we're talking about doors. We have, I think, 9 doors in our house. We have 6 door walls, you know, plus, you know, all these different doors. And we do not have, I'm so frustrated with my husband when we build. He doesn't know where any keys are. He doesn't even have a key to our front door. So we just leave doors unlocked, or we have to come in through the garage with the opener thing, or we leave, you know, and it's very frustrating, and all of us are frustrated about it, and he keeps saying, okay, I'll get you a key, but he never gets us a key, and I don't know where the keys would be. And also that front lock, it's a really fancy lock, but it is kind of broken, you know? So I would like to ask you, what does that mean? Because we're all very frustrated, and for some reason, he ignores it. So we're going to get robbed or something, because half the time, the doors are unlocked.
The doors are all open, yeah. It's a real vulnerability thing there, yeah. Well, you know, I guess it doesn't necessarily, you know, tie into our clutter discussion at all, but it certainly does tie into the idea that there is a metaphor at play here, because... you know, Katana, particularly for you and the work and the visibility that you have, that front door can be very symbolic of you opening up to new opportunities and possibilities because you are such a visionary. You have such fabulous ideas. I mean, you're doing a radio show. You're building a village. You've got a, you know, a group of virtual women. I mean, you need the support of that front door. I think a locksmith could come and get you a key. I mean, if you wanted to spend the money for that, so that you can kind of circumvent his resistance to that for whatever reason. Who knows why that is happening? Sometimes
just busy,
people do.
Yeah, you know, busy and not important.
Yep.
Well, Katana, I I have to say that the reason why there's no lock on your front door is because there is so much activity in that household, and they take people in, animals in, and, you know, it's just always so welcoming, and they're always entertaining, and they're it's the focal point in the neighborhood, and it just makes sense to me that there's no lock on the door because there's always people walking through it.
Sure, sure. And that's exactly how that could play out. Yeah. And some people would move into that house and go, I can't stand this. You know, lock the door because they don't like that kind of energy. But Katana being
ever
the fire
lock
person.
Doors. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just kind of neighborhood. So, but I know that kind of has to do with clutter, Carol, only because it's like when you have the broken stuff. To me, that's clutter in a way, too.
You know,
when you can't find keys, to me, that's clutter. Where are they? You know?
Where are the keys? You've lost the keys. Exactly. Yeah. Clutter can be things, you know, that are broken like that. They can be things that you don't use anymore. They can be too many things. You know, I mean, we could do a whole show on just collections, people making their collections. You know, we like to collect things, and, you know, what happens there? Unfinished projects. Mm-hmm. I mean, that all can fall into the realm of clutter besides just piles of stuff. We all can recognize that as well. We can get clutter on your email, on the computer. So it's, now you have virtual clutter. So, you know, you can clean up your office, but you still may be looking at your computer with piles of things. So it's really important that people become aware of it and think about what would be the payoff in being clutter-free. What would be the payoff? I can tell you one client I worked with who decluttered her office, and she said, I don't know how this happened. This makes no sense, but she said, I have more time every day. She said, I actually can go home early because I have more time. Now, she said, I guess it's because I'm not looking for stuff. Because I put it in files. I dealt with it. I'm returning phone calls on time. So, I mean, that could be a nice payoff if things found their way. Because, you know, you start doing piles and people will say, oh, I know every pile. Well, yeah, but you got to rummage through the pile to find that number or to find that piece of paper. And instead, if it had a little organization behind it, it could help. So it's a rampant issue, and it can impact in such positive ways by dealing with it, by being proactive.
So how does feng shui help us with finding things, is feng shui more like a decorating thing?
Well, I think some people feel that feng shui is a form of decorating, interior design. I think what's good is that feng shui subscribes to good design principles, so I can see how the two could be confused. But there's something else that goes on that makes it a different and beyond what an interior designer does. Although I really admire what an interior designer does, and I am not one, so I appreciate their work tremendously. But feng shui really adds that personal element of what is my dream. And even though people may not know what your dream is, they get it. They realize something more, there's something different about this space. Walk in and say, I love this room. And they don't know why. But there's something that you have put in place there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? We have to go to a break in just a moment, and when we come back, I know you've got some tips that you're going to give our listeners, some specific tips. So, Jill, why don't we go to break for just a moment, and we'll be back.
Calling all present and future caregivers, baby boomers, and professionals. Please join the elder law expert, Danielle Mayoris, for the Designated Daughter Radio Show. Danielle will be exploring information that caregivers and professionals alike need to know. For more information, go to www.thecenterforelderlaw.com. That's thecenterforelderlaw.com and sign up for your free bi-monthly e-letter that all caregivers and professionals must have.
As a professional, your reputation is the most valuable asset. Your credibility, personality, and unique style make up your personal brand. What is yours saying about you? Find out how you can manage your brand with creative tools that help you stand out. Tune into Jill Jordan, personal branding coach and co-host at Smart Women Talk Radio. Register now at www.smartwomenscafevip.com. Again, that's smartwomenscafevip.com. Smart Women Talk Radio.
Attention women in transition. Join financial goddess Katana Abbott and other leading coaches and entrepreneurs at www.smartwomenscafe.com. Take advantage of this free content and rich online community. Weekly coaching calls, teleclasses, and more with unparalleled access to top coaches are just some of the perks. Or take it to the next level and check out the Business Mastermind Coaching Program for live coaching and over $9,500 in benefits. Learn to live with purpose, passion, and prosperity at smartwomenscafe.com.
Welcome back. If you've just joined us, we have been talking with Carol Hyder on Clutter, the Clutter Buster Show. And Carol, you've been just so much fun listening to what's holding us back and why we resist clutter. Mm-hmm. And I know we've got a caller that we would like to bring on. And let's just start with Joanne from Chicago, and you can take us to some other tips that we need to know about clutter bustering.
Okay. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Is this Joanne?
It's Joellen, yeah.
Joanne,
well, okay.
You might have to check your phone.
Me?
I don't know if you're calling from a landline, but that would be best. Let's see if we can hear you clearly now.
Okay.
Welcome, Joanne.
Hi, it's
you
Joellen.
Sound great. This is Joellen from Chicago.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
So my question is,
for Carol.
I do. My question is, what if you have, because you were talking about the front door and going in and out of the front door, but my garage is in the back, and so I'm always going through the back door.
Yes.
That's
right.
A great question, and I think we're going to just repeat that because there was a little static in the line, but we were talking about entering the home through the front door, and what about entering through the back, through the garage?
And of course, it makes sense you would do that, particularly if your garage is in the back, or, you know, if your garage is attached. Gosh,
it's
I live in Minnesota. I'm not walking around in 40 below weather to go through my front door. So what I suggest is that from time to time, you make an effort to go in and out of the front door. Like an example might be, you come home for about an hour. You've been out. You're just going to go home. You park in front if you can, or somewhere close by the front, and walk in and out of the front door at that time. Obviously, if you're going to park your car in the garage, unless you're just really compelled to do so, you probably are not going to walk all the way around the house to come in the front door. Sometimes you use your front door to walk out and get the mail. Sometimes you can use your door to take your dog out. That will work. At least it's being used and not just closed off and never used.
Okay, great.
That help? Okay.
Yep, that
Thanks
gives me
for
hope.
Calling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And that's an interesting point that you made, Carol. Let's talk about why we resist getting rid of our clutter. What's going on there? And other payoffs when we do get rid of the clutter.
Yeah, and I think this is worth, people need to really, through looking at a clutter issue, to really explore this one. This isn't going to be an, a quick answer here, but, you know, with a little bit of introspection, they can probably come around to something. There's a reason that you have your clutter. Sometimes it's security. Like, the more you have, the more you feel important. So there's, like, security, validation, a sense of presence. Sometimes it's like you want to avoid any emptiness. I mean, you know, it feels like if you have an empty corner or an empty room or even an empty refrigerator, there's a perception that you're poor or that you can't afford to fill all your space. So you fill it. And this is a conversation I have with lots of people about leave the corner empty. And they look at me like, you know, like I've asked them to set their hair on fire. You know, like, leave it empty. It's like, yes, of course, let the space breathe. You want to breathe. You want to have some emptiness. But, you know, we feel like, oh, no, everything's got to be filled. Sometimes people were just not raised with the skills. And some of these skills are learned. You can learn how to deal with your clutter. But if they don't know that they need to learn that, then they sit there and go, I don't know what to do. Sometimes it's the only way people have control over their lives. You know, maybe they grew up in sort of abusive family issues or dysfunctional family, and now they got their own house. They can have it any way they want, and they have stuff. And it's sort of a rebellion. You know, but I see 70-year-old people still rebelling from their parents. It's like, you know, now would be the time to move on and let that go. But it's so ingrained in them, they know no other way. So I think it's real important for people to stop and say, why do I have this? What am I getting? I must be gaining something from it. Even people who complain to me about their clutter, they go, oh, I have all this clutter. Well, all right, so if you get that intellectually, why is it still here? I don't know.
I love that question.
I can't move it on. So it's real important to kind of sit and figure out what you're getting something from it. Importance, sense of security, a validation. I don't know. Something's going on. So it raises up doing clutter work from a feng shui perspective, and I'm sure organizers can verify this. It really brings up a lot of issues for people. You know, they get into certain closets and, you know, haven't been in there in years, and now all this old stuff floods back. But, you know, it didn't go away. It's still festering in there. So they really need to deal with it.
You know, Carol, I just went into my closet, and I hadn't organized it. I swear, I feel horrible saying this, but probably in a year. You know, it's like I'm bringing the summer clothes out in, you know, July sometimes or August. You know, because I'm going, it's terrible. Well, I finally this weekend, I was trying to get my daughter to clean her room, and so I said, I better go do my room was beautiful because I've been listening to you about the whole making it a sanctuary and all that, mm-hmm. but it was behind my big closet doors, you know, and in my drawers, and so I just took everything out, and it was funny. I threw stuff away, and I had a bag for the Salvation Army, but it wasn't, and I had some things going up for off-season, but it wasn't like... I had to get rid of a lot. It was more organizing and making it beautiful. And so now that it's all, you know, beautiful, I just feel so happy. Like, you know, I can't wait to go out now because I get to go pick out of all these beautiful things I have organized.
Yeah.
I even found a pair of shoes I hadn't taken out of the box.
See?
Never worn the tags on them.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. It's funny how we are all pretty well guilty of that kind of behavior. And what a difference it makes. You know, Ivana, when she was on talking about fashion feng shui, she uses the term expired. Things expire, like clothes expire, shoes expire, which means that, you know, they may be good, but they're old. And there's no reason, they expire in your life, and there's no reason to keep them. But a lot of times we keep them well beyond their shape.
And isn't it true, it feels so good when we purge, when we get rid of these things that have expired and give them or donate them to others who could really appreciate, really need. And sometimes you look around and you see so much that you have and you don't even know where to begin, but just by giving it away, It just is such a great process.
And I'm one of these people that I actually love the act of getting rid of it, not just the effects afterwards. But it's, I don't know if it's therapy and it feels like a shower or what have you, but I even like doing the weeding.
Isn't that nice? Yeah, and you're lucky that way, because then you will have a tendency to stay on top of stuff, and it won't ever get too bad. But I have my barometer for me is that if our neighbors said, we're going to have a garage sale, do you want to contribute anything? I want to always be able to say, no, I don't have anything. That's a pretty hefty goal, and for the most part, you know, I'm on top of it, but it's work. I mean, I'm always thinking about, you know, sometimes my husband will say, couldn't we just keep that for a little while? No, it's out. It's gone. It's out of here. We're not using it. So anyway.
Well, I'm just reminded of nature, you know, and its perfect beauty as the we're looking out in these beautiful autumn days that we're having. You in Minnesota, we are here in Michigan, quite similar, and the trees are starting to turn, and then they will drop their leaves, and then it will be, you know, the snow, and then it will be the new birth. It's always forever expiring and changing.
Yes.
And why we as human beings, we fight this law of nature. It's kind of funny.
That is such a great insight, Jill, because it is all about that cycle, and we hang on. We want to hang on to stuff, and that's stalling it out. There's cultures. Well, anyway, that's another this whole story. But you're absolutely
right. We will bring you back.
we really need to follow that cycle.
Carol, we want to get your 5 tips because we've only got a few minutes here, and we've got we'll have to wrap up. So let's do that quickly.
Here's tip number one.
Okay.
If the whole house is cluttered, because sometimes this is the case, then start in the bedroom. So just hone in on in the bedroom. Just start in there, dresser, closet, under the bed. Whatever. If your whole office is tip number two, if the whole office is cluttered, start on your desk. This is an obvious thing, but sometimes people don't. They start elsewhere, but start on your desk. Number three, if you have a lot of clutter, start in increments of 9. So one way to do that is to say, I'm going to do 9 minutes a day for 9 days, and I'm going to see what happens. 9 is a very powerful number. So 9 minutes a day for 9 days. Don't do 10. Don't let it get out of control. It's 9 minutes, because then it won't seem like a job and you won't hate it. Plus, you're starting to set a habit. The other way, tip number 4 that you can do that, is to do 9 items. So instead of 9 minutes, you go to your desk and say, I'm going to get rid of 9 items. I'm going to deal with 9 items right now. Or you go to your bookshelf and you say, I'm going to get rid of 9 books right now. Or you go to your closet and you say, I'm going to get rid of 9 pieces of clothing I haven't worn in a year right now. And you may then come back in a couple of days and do 9 more, but at least you've started the ball rolling. And you haven't done it in such a way that you're overwhelmed, because that's one way you'll sabotage. It's like, I'm not taking my whole weekend to clean up this office. Well, because no, why? Why would you? I mean, that's a lot of work, but a little bit at a time. And then the final tip is always look, because Katana had such great luck with this one, look in the back left corner of each room, look in the back left corner on your desk. That's your money corner. That's your wealth corner. And take a look at what you've got there. What is sitting there? How about you give it some room for money to come in? Be a good place to put flowers. Purple flowers would be fabulous. A purple candle. Purple is the color for that. Any one of those are small baby steps, but it will start the ball rolling. Stay with it.
I tell you what, Carol, those are so great, and I took notes. Let's go ahead and post those in the message boards, in the member forum on the cafe.
Yep.
And
perfect.
And at this point, I want to thank you. We've got just a few seconds here before we have to leave, and I want to thank you for being here. You're always fabulous. We want to have you back again very soon.
Thanks. It's great.
Oh, thank you. And you can go to carolheider.com. That's Carol with an E, heider.com. She's got books. She's got a wonderful certification program coming up. Be sure to come visit us in the Smart Women's Cafe and grab your free membership. Those will be ending very, very soon. And in the meantime, I want to make sure that you know that next week we have Dr. Gary Stolman coming back, keeping you in balance and learning to communicate effectively. Gary's fabulous, very well-known TV and radio show guest, so you'll love him. So with that, I want to end our show and thank you and go out and live with purpose, passion, and prosperity.
Thank you for joining us here at Smart Women Talk Radio, a place to learn, prosper, and grow. Tune in again next week for another exciting episode of Smart Women on the CTR Network. And remember to live with purpose, passion, and prosperity.